Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52.
As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. What do you want me to do for you? It's a question that I often forget to ask. I tend to charge in certain of what the need is, and, well, most of the time it goes fine, but not always. Last year I came home from leading a retreat that hadn't gone as expected. Even though I had prepared extensively, I never felt like I hit the target with this particular group. The retreatants were restless, disengaged, distant. And when I told my husband about the experience on the way home from the airport, he was sympathetic. And then he asked, "What did the planning team say they were looking for from you?" I have to admit, in retrospect, I'm not sure that I listened well enough in the planning process in order to find out. I sometimes fear that if Bartimaeus had encountered me on the road from Jericho, he may have ended up with $5 in his pocket. I may have assumed what he wanted and neglected to inquire. But Jesus doesn't presume, even though he's God on earth, even though he's knowledge incarnate, even though the man standing before him is clearly blind, before doing anything for Bartimaeus, Jesus first asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" The Catholic tradition clearly values the doing of good in the world. It has created a vast network of schools and hospitals and social service clinics. It funds development projects and relief services and crisis centers. The halls of our sponsored institutions are congested with generous, well-educated doctors and nurses and teachers and social workers, builders and financiers. Yet, at the heart of all our service efforts as a church lies a profound foundational commitment to human dignity. What do you want us to do for you? We can't presume to know what others want in any given situation without pausing first to ask. Sometimes those conversations, like the one that Jesus had with Bartimaeus today, are simple and joyous. Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus replies that he wants sight. This is something that Jesus, because he's Jesus, is able and happy to provide. But sometimes those conversations are much more complicated, aren't they? Because sometimes the kind of healing a person truly desires is beyond what we, who are not Jesus, have the capacity to make happen. And then we're faced with even more complicated, painful conversations. Like, what do you say when a beloved grandmother is in need of further cancer treatment to stay alive, but says, "No more chemo, I'm done"? What do you do when a brother with schizophrenia decides he wants to go off his meds? Or when a sister in community life with addiction issues wants to check herself out of a treatment facility after only a few days and to move back home? How do we still honor the dignity of people to make their own choices about what they want in terms of their health and well-being, while at the same time be true to our own values and honest about our concerns? These are big questions that are especially pronounced for those of us who live in aging religious communities and families. We're, of course, not the first people in the history of the church to be asking these questions, Indeed, the church's bishops and theologians are always wrestling with how to apply core gospel values in the midst of the real world that we live in. And there's many helpful resources available. In the United States, we have the Ethical and Religious Directives for Catholic Healthcare Service. And I'm sure similar resources exist elsewhere in the world as well. Documents like these can help stimulate conversations we want to have with one another around what we each want when a cure is beyond our capacity, but we still really want to honor each other's freedom and dignity. None of us knows when we will need to be having conversations of this nature. We like to think of illness as something in the distant future and accidents as remote possibilities. And hopefully they are. But there's no need to wait to have conversations until a time of crisis. I challenge everyone listening this week to have a Jesus and Bartimaeus conversation. And what I mean by that is this. Talk with at least one person that you're really close to about what you would want done for you at the end of your life. And ask them what they would want you to do for them. We don't often have conversations of this nature with each other because they can be so uncomfortable. But in order to really be able to honor each other's dignity in a time of grave need, it's important that we know. It's one very concrete way that we can imitate Jesus in our daily life, just by asking, what would you want me to do for you?